Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hey friends, welcome back to the Moms in Prayer podcast. This is episode 46. 46, can you even imagine? I'm your host, Leanne Heiss, and I'm so glad that you're here today. We have a special guest who is back by popular demand, CEO and founder of Axis Ministries, David Eaton. David was a guest on episode 5 of our podcast, and he is the one who said that there is no one more leveraged in the life of a teen than their parents. I don't know about you, but I find that so encouraging. You may ask yourself, what do 7 domains of the smartphone have to do with prayer? But remember that one of our goals is equip you to pray for and reach into the life of your teen. And there really is maybe no bigger battleground than the one that we're facing with technology and social media today. You're going to love this conversation. And hey, David shares so many resources today, and there's a free coupon code that he shares at the very beginning of this podcast. You can find all that information, all of David's recommendations on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Big thanks to those of you who are leaving reviews on iTunes, on Spotify. It's helping other people learn about the Moms in Prayer ministry, and we're so grateful. By the way, it's almost the end of the Moms in Prayer school year, and this is the perfect time for someone to come to your group to check it out, to see what we do, and to engage before they take a break over the summer. Who should you be inviting to your Moms in Prayer group? I'm getting ready to walk out the door to go to my Michigan State Leadership Getaway, and I can't wait to be with my Moms in Prayer sisters. There really is no other group that I love being with more. These are my kinds of friends. Without any further delay, let's jump right in with David. David, my friend, welcome back to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
So good to be back.
So glad to have you here. In case our friends missed, you were one of our very first guests on the brand new Moms in Prayer podcast. And now, 40-some episodes in, you're back.
With a vengeance. We're talking about the smartphone still, though. Still the smartphone.
Fan favorite. And it's so fun to bring you back because, really, your ministry is on the cutting edge of what's happening. And our friends may not know about you at this point. Why? But go ahead, check out David Eaton, Axis Ministries. But David, just give us a Cliff Notes version in case this is a first introduction to you.
Axis.org, AXIS.org. We help parents and their teenagers communicate and understand each other. If it needs to be more general than parents, we think of caring adults. So parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, etc. And then we think about the next generation. So those are 8 to 18-year-olds. And our specialty is culture translation. We help translate at the intersection of faith, technology, entertainment. So for example, did you know what Skywalker is? Well, you know, you think Skywalker, think of Star Wars, we think of Luke Skywalker. Well, it's actually a new strain of marijuana that's very popular. And well, how's the next generation consuming marijuana? Well, they could vape it. And if you vape it, you could also vape like nicotine and also vape just like watermelon sunrise, so just a flavor. But vaping is like an epidemic right now. But if you vape marijuana, you don't smell like rabbit poop, which is what normal marijuana smells like. So it's just like there's all these new trends, and that's the scary stuff. There's also just new ways to communicate with the next generation. So we are all about making, just revealing that parents are the hero. And our job is to serve the heroes of the next generation, which are moms and dads. And we just get to be the research assistants. We don't make it easy because it's going to be a challenge, but we make it easier. So we have all kinds of resources. So if you go to axis.org, and actually, yeah, we have some free resources for all you moms out there. So if you go to axis.org/MIP for Moms in Prayer, we'll hook you up with some of our resources for free.
I love this. I love getting emails from you in my inbox, and those are called the culture translator. But basically, it's telling us like the few things that we should watch out for and what's really trending with youth today, which is nice because I don't have time to figure this out. I'm so busy parenting my four crazies in the demographic that you serve that I don't have time to go out and be super sleuth on everything. And so I just feel like, really, you've got quite a ministry right now.
Yeah, our job is like, you already have a job. You're a mom, or you have a business here, there are things that are going on. You're writing books, Lee. And so we're just trying to figure out how we can help in these micro ways that are easy. So like the Culture Translator email says, here are three trends each week and how to talk about them with your kids so that you can join the conversation culture's already having with them. That's our gig, helping moms connect to the heart of their child through great conversations.
All right. So before we launch in, I really think that fear continues to be one of those things that binds mothers, especially, up when it comes to their teenagers. And we're going to dive into the smartphone again, because really this is epidemic. I mean, there's a battle that's going on in the front pocket of our kids' jeans, really, or backpacks, or wherever they're keeping their smartphone right now. But can you just give us some words of wisdom, David, how we handle this, not with fear, but in a different way? What would you say to us as we start out?
Yeah, so there's always going to be the temptation to parent out of fear. Don't do it. But again, that sounds like very prescriptive. So what I would do is, if you feel fear, fun word, big word for the day, proprioception, is like when you actually have a feeling in your body. There's probably a place in your body where you feel fear. I feel it at the center, kind of like under my lungs, above my stomach. That's where I feel it. And so just imagine it's like maybe a volleyball. Okay, so whenever you get that fear, just hold the volleyball with your two hands, right where your stomach is, and then pray and say, God, this fear is real. I'm feeling it. I'm thinking it in my mind, and I'm feeling it in my body. And I am going to invite your Holy Spirit into this sensation I'm having of fear. And give me courage, give me wisdom, give me patience, give me the mentors that I need, give me the other mommies and moms in prayer, my spouse, you know, my mother, my father, my youth pastor, whatever it is, and say, God, just guide me in this. There's going to be so many opportunities for you to react as a parent. And there's going to be things that punch you in the face where you're like, I didn't see that one coming. Right. So when you're tempted to react, first think of the word respond. So maybe something sneaks up on you and your kid says, I'm dating someone and they're bisexual. And you're like, oh, and like feeling, you know, so hold on, deep breath, practice your I'm not shocked face, maybe walk for a second. Grab that invisible volleyball of fear, invite the Holy Spirit into it, then you get to respond. And then hopefully the goal of Access and the goal of Moms in Prayer and all this is that you're prepared for these things. So it's not even like you've already practiced it. You already have the right habit, the right spiritual formation where you can be proactive, ask the right questions. So again, if you're parenting out of fear, totally normal. Normal doesn't mean it's good. It just means it's real. Know where you're feeling it. And then invite the Holy Spirit into it. And then find the resources that you need. And maybe we can help with that in this podcast.
So good, David. That's exactly what I would say too, is let's grab a hold of that thing and let's pray it down. And then let's figure out what we're going to do and what we're going to say. So you're here today to talk to us about seven domains of the smartphone. And I don't even know what that means. So introduce us.
Yeah, here's the story. So I was hanging out with, I'm a very part-time youth pastor. So there's a single mom at our church who has a daughter. My wife and I have rapport with the mom and the daughter. And so this mom said, hey, I'm having fights with my daughter. Can you come over and just kind of help us understand the smartphone so we can reach a point of agreement? And I was super naive. I was like, this is easy. Like, they both like me. I'm a youth pastor. I do Access for a living. I know how this thing works. So I went to their house. Had a conversation, the daughter would not even look at the mother. We're talking about the smartphone. Wouldn't even look. She was crying. I'm going to say it. She was just pissed off. She was so angry. I don't know if I'm allowed to use that word, but she was just angry at her mom. Cold shoulder, hot, angry tears down her face. It ended in utter failure. I did not succeed. It ended with this young lady saying to me as I was walking off the steps of her house, the stricter the parent, the sneakier the child. And whoa. This young lady, nice line, right?
Whoa.
Total punch in the face on that one. And I didn't have an answer. I have an answer now, but I didn't have an answer then. And then this young lady got two iPhones, one for her mom's house and one for her dad's house. She could use them in different ways. So there were different rules on each. And so, yeah, so I don't think it could get any worse than that. So then I said, you know what? This has got to change. And so I just went to the basement of my church and I started whiteboarding. I started saying, what are all the different conversations you could have about the phone? And there's like over 100 different pretty important conversations that I've boiled down to like 4 essential conversations. But then there is the 7 domains. Like there are 7, because I was just looking at it like, let's just go big brother on this. Let's just go like, if a parent wanted to lock everything down, didn't care about a heart connection, didn't care about building trust, just like, what are the 7 areas of the phone? And that's what we get to talk about today. And I'll tell you, they're non-negotiables: location, time, internet, app store, texting, and social media. There you go. You got the price of admission. But each of these have a different strategy that you approach it with. But my point is like, we'll talk about all of these. We'll talk about a strategy in all of these 7 domains. But if you don't have trust with your child, if she doesn't trust you, if you don't trust them, if that's not the primary goal, then the 7 domains are just like the law in the Old Testament. You know, law without the gospel, law without Jesus. We can recognize the things that we're not doing, but you're just going to build a wall that your kid is going to crawl over. You're just going to create a strict system, and they're going to have to be sneakier than you. And having a kid live in your home is like having at-home tech support. Like, they just know more than you do about technology in many situations, so they're going to be able to sneak around it. But if you start off and you say, look, I love you, and I want you to have a phone, and I want you to get a phone. But you also start off with the end in mind and says, this is what it's going to take for you to have independence with the phone. So as we get into the 7 domains, I want to start off with, 1, this is the essential conversation you have. We're on a journey of trust with a destination of independence. Mm. On a journey of trust with a destination of independence. At some point, and think of it like driver's ed. Lee, how old are your kids? What's your oldest kid?
About to turn 16. Yep. We got driver's training. Yep.
Ooh. Are you in the midst of doing the driver's ed right now?
Yeah, we're second semester of driver's training right now. I mean, we're 2 months out, David, from him hitting the road on his own.
That's awesome. By the way, driver's ed is one of the greatest chances to connect to the heart of your child, because you have to drive in a car side by side for how many hours is it for you in your
50
state?
Hours. 50 hours. Do you know how many trips to the school 50 hours is? It's so many trips to the school.
That's a great time. So just imagine, Lee, that you're like, oh, your son turned 16 and you're like, hey, here's the keys to the car. And there was no driver's ed. There was no written exam. There was no driving exam. There's no 50 hours in the car. You would expect them to hurt someone, hurt themselves, hurt property. But that's kind of what we do with the smartphone. We're like, hey, you're 13. We don't have a landline at home. It's your birthday. Here's a phone. What can go wrong? And so, again, the biggest question parents ask is, at what age should I get my kid a smartphone? And the answer to that is wrong question, okay? Mm-hmm. The wrong question, because it assumes 2 things. It assumes that they have 0% access to a smartphone and they're going to 100% access. Well, first of all, if they have friends at school, their friends have phones. And so they're just a friend away from handing them their phone and saying, hey, look at this, what's going on? So your kid's always going to have access to a phone, no matter how locked up they are. But then when you get them their first phone, they don't have to get 100% access. Okay. So there can be different safeguards in the 7 domains, which severely limit the phone. Now, again, try to have empathy. Try to imagine what it was like. Try to imagine what it was like if you were 16 or 17 back in the day and your parents said, you don't get the car. Give me the keys. You don't get to drive. We're actually not getting you a car. You would feel like everyone else has a car. Everyone else is at the football game. Everyone else gets to do stuff. Everyone else gets to go on dates. Mom, you're limiting my choices. And so it's the same way when you yank that phone away from them. So you want to not do that. But at the same time, let's talk about the 7 domains. And the first one is non-negotiables. So I'm going to put Lee on the spot because I know she's a thought leader in this space. Do your kids have phones, by the way?
My oldest has a phone and the other 3 do not.
All right. Good for you. So if you're a mom who's like, all of your kids are like 8 years old and they all have phones, this is judgment free. Okay.
Yeah, totally.
So, you have to figure out what they need. You're the parent. We're not the parent. But Lee, was there ever a time when you got your son the phone where you said, this is always wrong on the phone? Have you had that conversation yet?
Absolutely.
So what are some things that are just always wrong?
Straight off the top is looking at body images of any kind. So we're talking pornography or accessing any of those. And I said, under no circumstance right now can you add apps to your phone without my permission. So,
really?
Yep.
Good for you.
We're watching all the apps on his phone. He needs permission to add an app. He needs to keep his cell phone out of the bedroom. It needs to be in the main areas of our home, out of bathrooms, that kind of thing. So charging downstairs at night. And I think that's it, David. I'm sure that there's a few more, but I can't think of any straight off.
Lee, that's awesome. And so first of all, this like puts you in a really far on the intentional side of the bell curve, right? So I think there's definitely some non-negotiables. And these are things that need to be agreed on at the beginning if you can. And if not, Access has this thing called the 30-day smartphone reboot that will help reorient your family around this. If you haven't got your kid a smartphone yet, that's awesome. What you'll want to do is actually create just kind of maybe an ad hoc work in progress covenant, agreement, contract, whatever you want to call it. And just declaring that at the beginning is really important, saying, hey, one, especially at the beginning, I'm going to know every app on your phone. There will be, looking at porn is always wrong. And so again, your kid might not even have a phone, but they need to know that that's always wrong. Because it's bad for their brain, it's bad for their relationships, and it's bad for the world. It enslaves others. I think on another level with the non-negotiables, and this is something, especially for you moms out there, I've heard so many students say, you know, my mom will text me and I will not respond within 15 seconds and then she will freak out. And so it's good to just say, hey, this is kind of our agreed upon response time. And there's grace there, but if I text you and say, where are you? And you don't respond for 45 minutes, then I'm going to be concerned. But also, I know that I'd prefer for you to respond in 5 minutes, maybe 15 if it's during class or school. So again, just kind of airing that out. I would always have the GPS location services on. And then prepare them. Like this is what our family does if you get an inappropriate text message. So let's just say you have a son, and let's say you do have a son, Lee, but just for the moms out there who are listening, he may not be soliciting nude photos from girls.
Sure.
But he might have friends who have. And so his friends might have a nude photo from a girl at school, sexting. Sexting is normal, by the way, not good, but normal. And his friend might send him a naked picture or a girl in lingerie or a girl in a bikini to his phone that you have. He needs to know how to respond beforehand. There needs to be a conversation that happens on like what we do, why this is illegal, why in some states this is child pornography, and how to respond as a man of courage. He also could just get a nude photo sent to him from a girl and not have asked for it, because she's looking for attention and affection and she wants that. He needs to know how to respond. And same thing with your daughter. If she gets asked for nude photos, that needs to be a conversation that happens beforehand. And they need to feel safe to come to you to have that conversation. Even like, you need to be the bad guy. So where they can say, hey, do not ask me for this. Do not send this for this, because Lee, my mom is going to see this and my mom will respond. She is an actionable woman. And she is. And also you want to make sure if someone sends something inappropriate, that you get a copy of it, because a lot of parents will say, there is no way my daughter would send your son a nude photo. What are you talking about? You'd be like, well, I hate to say this, but I took a snapshot so I could have evidence of it so you would know, because you are jeopardizing your daughter and my son through this thing. So again, that's kind of a lot, but the non-negotiables, notice it has nothing to do with the phone yet. You haven't even turned on a phone. You haven't taken the phone out of the box from the Verizon store.
I so appreciate this, David, because after talking to you the last time, we went with our son Brendan, sat down and did a contract. I mean, we went online, got a free contract that somebody else had made, and we sat down and said, here's the deal. We have to sign agreements when we get loans. We sign agreements when we rent a house. This is about going into college. Like, so here's your agreement with the cell phone. And that helps so much set up those non-negotiables. So we've got non-negotiables. Now, location?
Yeah. So the next two. So I think non-negotiables are kind of like your theology, your philosophy, the moral compass. The rest of these are up to you. The rest of these are wisdom issues. And so, but the next two are different. Location and time, again, they don't have to do with the settings on the phone as much. So like Lee, you said no phones in the bedrooms, no phones in the bathrooms. I was just talking to a dad, and every night they have all their family's phones sleep in the kitchen. And by the way, one of the biggest challenges that families face is that kids are like, my parents are hypocrites. And so like, why do I have to listen to them? Cause they're on their phones the entire time. So I think it's good to start off with the growth mindset and say like, look, this thing is a powerfully creative device and it has its tentacles wrapped around us. Like, and so for a mom to say, yeah, I'm going to limit my Pinterest, or a dad to say, I'm going to limit my email, that then leads to the conversation to say, and son, I want you to limit your Snapchat, and daughter, I want you to limit your Instagram. Or limit your Fortnite. So location just says, hey, and so I'm gonna rattle off some of these. If you're listening to this, you can probably hit pause. But where does your phone sleep at night? Where are the phones during homework time, meals, the bathroom, and the bedroom? Because I mean, phones are waterproof now for 30 minutes under a meter of water. So bathroom, bedroom, then at friends' homes, or what happens when friends come over to your house? What happens when they're driving their car, or you're driving the car, or they're in a friend's car? What about church and then school? Those are kind of the biggies that are right in front of them. There are different rules. There are different mindsets that you can have for all of those locations and trying to figure it out. I think the greatest thing that you can do is have a place for your phone to sleep outside of the bedroom, and for you as parents to do that yourself. And so here's a scary story is, there was a dad, and the whole family like plugged their phones in the kitchen at night. But the son would wake up in the middle of the night, or like as soon as the dad was asleep at 9:30 or 10:30, go into the kitchen, unplug his dad's phone, download Snapchat, log into the son's Snapchat account, snap with his friends until 2 a.m., then delete the Snapchat app, and then go back to the kitchen and plug the phone in. So again, like the dad found out, I just talked to a dad earlier today that he locks everyone's phones at night. Or you could keep them in your own. If your kid's sneaking, you could keep them all in your own bedroom. But again, the more that you can model this, the better. And so this means buying alarm clocks for your families. So again, that's just like, and again, if you're at World War III with your kids, just know that their friends are getting new phones, which means their friends have old phones, which means your son or daughter could get an old phone from one of their friends. And hide it under their mattress. I mean, again, so you want to maintain that heart connection. Okay, let's go to the next one, time. So let's say you say, hey, you can be on your phone however much you want. It just has to be in a common area. But then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, the common area, does that mean the dining room table? Does that mean the couch? Does that mean like you're totally owned by your phone? So some things to think about that is that with Screen Time, which is an Apple app, which is built in, and Google Family Link, which is built in for Android devices, not only can you set bedtimes for phones, you can set time limits for the general phone usage or time limits for specific apps. So that's powerful. Right. And again, you can just Google this, and or Axis can be in your corner. You can go into axis.org/MIP for Moms in Prayer, get your coupon, and download a parent's guide to Snapchat, or a parent's guide to Instagram, or a parent's guide to, again, whatever you need. So again, this puts a tech curfew, but you want to lead with the positive, right? Like, we're better in community than we are in isolation. You know, these phones, it's an attention economy. They just want to own us. Let's just be together and have some eye contact. So you can put specific app time limits, daily time limits, tech curfew. It also has to do with notifications. If you're a mom listening to this, or even a dad listening to this, consider turning off all non-human notifications. do not be owned by the red dots on your phone. So Lee, can we go forward to the final four domains of the smartphone? Is that okay with you?
Totally. Let's keep going.
So the first three, non-negotiables, location and time. These are all decisions that are made. And they have very little to do with phone setup. Now, internet, app store, texting, and social media. These are inside the phone, and these are all strategies that you have to have. I would highly, highly recommend when you get your child a phone for the first time, turning off the internet. Do not let them have Google Chrome. Do not let them have Safari. These are built in, and this allows them access to the best and the worst parts of human nature, all in one place at one time. So they're just, for crying out loud, they're 13, they're 17 years old, it's 11 o'clock at night, they have a phone in their bedroom by themselves. They're flirting with some girl, their friend sends them some sensual sexual video, and they're just a internet query away from finding an infinite amount of pornography.
Yeah, it's just too much.
It's too much for anyone.
Right.
That's why we're better in community than we are in isolation, and we're inviting. And so even with this whole seven domain, remember that the big conversation is we're on a journey of trust with a destination of independence. Yeah. You know, Lee, when your son, he's going to be driving when he's 16 or, here soon. Yeah. And there's going to be times where you're going to be in the passenger seat, but your goal is to not be in the passenger seat. So the final goal is like you want to see them have independence, but that's because they realize they're under authority, that they have a moral compass, that they are self-aware, that they can self-govern or self-regulate, and they're in community. Like those are like the five things that you would probably want to see happen so that you're like, I'm not going to ask you to look at your phone because I know that you have brothers and I know that you have other mentors that are asking you those questions and that you desire righteousness. But back to the internet, you're giving that a 10-year-old or 12-year-old a phone, don't. So you can turn it off. You can turn off the internet. But at the same time, when you turn off the internet, you also have to turn off the app store. And so what I mean by turn off the app store is that they can't just go in and download whatever app they want. They have incremental things. So first, I think no app store. Then when they do have an app store, you should know every app on their phone. And you can actually turn off your student's ability to delete apps. And when I first saw that setting, I was like, why is that in there? That doesn't make any sense to me. And it's because there are students who will download apps and then they will delete them. So they'll leave for school, they'll be on the school bus or be at school, they will download Snapchat. They will be on their Snapchat account all day. Then they'll come home from school and they'll delete Snapchat to keep Lee from looking at, or moms to say, oh, I thought we said you couldn't have Snapchat. So again, there's a reason that in church nurseries, there are windows. There's a reason that they have multiple people is because you don't want some creeper being in the nursery, not being seen. And the same part, there's a creeper in all of our souls. There's a sin nature that we have to die to and that Christ has to overcome. And so you don't want to be that, you want to have visibility. You want to be seen being seen. And a phone promises privacy, and we're at our worst when we think there's privacy. Go ahead.
Our rule in our household is accountability even between adults. So we have permission to pick up each other's phone and search through. And my husband has men that he's accountable to. I have women that I report to. And it's just not just setting up accountability for our teenagers. This is setting up accountability for us too. We want to be able to lead transparent lives where this part of us is above reproach, but also it's easy to fall into the next pit that's available. So I mean, at least in our home, we're trying to model this too, that they can pick up our phone and see the apps that are on our phone.
And when you're parenting out of fear, you can see the phone as like the greatest threat to your child's existence. When you parent out of the gospel, potentially you can say this phone is going to be forcing conversations.
Yeah.
And in many ways, these conversations we might not have had, and this can be an incredible chance to disciple the heart of my child. And so, of course, there's some things that are unredeemable. Not too many things in this world, but so pornography is unredeemable. However, Snapchat or Instagram isn't, But you can be on Instagram and you can just live a life of comparison where you feel utterly worthless and inadequate because you're seeing all these fake pictures of people who are acting like they're happy. And maybe they are happy, but maybe they aren't. Maybe you're just getting the snapshots of the happiest moments of their life and you're starting to hate yourself. And so this is a chance for a mom or a dad to insert yourself in and say, hey, like, we got to be aware that you're comparing not just your life, but you're comparing your body parts. And you're like, that girl has the best eyebrows. This girl has the best knees. This girl has the best arms. This girl has the best chest or the best hips or the best butt or the best teeth or whatever. And then all of a sudden you're like, you're not even comparing a human being. You're comparing yourself to thousands of other body parts. Like, and then you wish that you had, you know, the synthesis of all those things. So again, internet, I would turn it off completely. And then at some point you can turn it on. And I would use Covenant Eyes. There are other options out there too, but this costs an additional $9. And what this does is it will just send a report to you as a parent or to their accountability partner so you can see where they have been online. Now, the point with this, again, is not to be creepy. The point, and you can be a total jerk about it, and your kid can hate you. But you can also be like, look, I'm living under authority. You are too. I want you to know that you can be seen what's happening. You should always turn off, you should always hit the setting that says limit adult content and then just realize that even if the native browser is on their phone, if they have an app store, they can download another browser from the app store. So again, I think with the internet, start off with nothing, then start off with a monitoring app, always turn off or hit the button that says limit adult content. The reason it says limit is because they know that they cannot stop all of it. And then have that open conversation. With the app store, you start off with your 12-year-old having no app store and you knowing every app on their phone. Then they have to use the ask to buy settings so you know what they're buying. Turn off the ability to delete apps. Just do kind of a survey every now and then. You can hide apps deep in folders. And then eventually they'll be able to buy their own app. They should be buying their own apps anyways. But they'll have an open app store. Now, when it comes to texting and social media, this is kind of the final thing here. What's cool is that you can turn off texting at the beginning, and texting is fun. And a lot of trouble happens with it, but at the beginning, turn it off. Again, we're talking about very young students. And then there is software. It's called Bark, bark.us, another third party. Whenever you install these third party apps, install it on your phone first, just to see how much they suck. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but you'll just be like, this is kind of hard to install, but I can do it because you can do it. And they're there to help you do it because you're a customer. And then two, you're going to just feel what it's like. You want to feel it again. You don't want to be reacting. You want to be responding. And actually you want to be preventing, you know, on the front side of this. So you download it, you play around with it, see how it feels. The nice Bark is another $9 a month service. Cool thing about it is it will read all of your child's text messages and then it will not let you read them. However, it will report back to you on anything that is extreme or dangerous behavior. And you can create the level of accountability for this. So again, they know that you're going to see when someone cusses at them or says some kind of slang phrase or some kind of acronym or sends them a photo. This Bark also does work for social media too. And this is like the only solution. There's two other solutions out there. Like a Teen Safe is another one. I think that's $15 a month. And there's I can't remember what the other one's called, but the reason I don't like those is they cost a little bit more money. And they also are, they give you a full report of everything your kid did. And last time I checked, you're already a busy parent and you don't have time to go through everything. So it'd be nice to get like a high level executive report. And again, I don't want to use the word threat, but it's just good that your kid knows that, you know, if trust is lost, then you may resort to these things or you may start off on them. But again, you want them to come to you first. I remember a mom was telling me one of her friends sent a video to her son, and it was a video of a man murdering puppies with a hammer. Okay, just like, and her son saw it. And this mom sensed it in his soul. He was disturbed by seeing this violent image. Yep. And so she said, hey, baby, or hey, honey, what happened? She was safe enough. And her son was like, this is what I saw. and I can't eat food today. And I'm just feeling like, why does this happen? And she was able to slide in, put her arm around him and love on him and make it and say, yeah. And you know what this mom did? Total ninja mom. This mom said, look, I can't know all the settings on your phone. I can't help prevent this. Will you help me set it up on your phone? And the son, because he was invited into it, did it. And guess what? This is the oldest son. So he was able to help lead his other siblings, which is, I mean, that's what we're after right here. We're not after a bunch of wall. We're not after building a wall. We're after, you know, a heart connection. And so at some point you will allow texting. And then finally, social media. Same thing here, but what's interesting about social media is like, it's a huge opportunity to disciple your kids. You know, you should have, if you should eventually, you want to follow your kid on an account, but if your kid already has social media, you should ask if you can. And then you don't want to comment on stuff. And, you know, hardly ever, probably never. Okay, Lee, are you busted on this one?
No, my kids don't have social media yet. And I've kind of been waiting. I wrote you in an email. We're going to be talking about social media. But I have seen those moms who comment on every picture. And I insert a great big eye roll every single time because I don't want to be that mom, you know?
Yeah, and grandmas, man, they'll comment on everything, and especially on Facebook. But, you know, kids aren't on Facebook anymore. But that's why students will have multiple social media accounts. So they'll have their Instagram that you're following and a lot of their friends are following. Then they'll have a Finsta, a fake Instagram account, which is something that you don't know about as a mom or a dad. And so they can have the real conversations with their friends. And you just don't want to feel like that's what they have to do to have a real conversation. So again, Bark will help you know if they have these. But again, it's not perfect and sometimes it's clunky. But it works with 20 different, you know, social media accounts. I mean, kids are using Google Docs right now to like hide conversations from their parents. There's always a place to hide.
Totally.
And that's why you're after, you know, a heart that loves righteousness. And that's why you have to ask yourself, if you're parenting out of fear, if you're parenting out of celebration, then you can just say, yeah, porn is like a perversion of the celebration of sexual intimacy that God's created. So of course we think that's wrong. Sexting, you know, Adam and Eve were naked in the garden. They felt no shame. That was a good thing. But this sexting thing is creating a whole universe of shame or just numbness. So again, we want you to live a life of freedom where good things run wild. But with social media, I will say, like, when you first get your kids a social media account, you'll want to follow it. And depending on their age, if they're 13 or 14, don't let them post anything without you seeing it first. And don't let them follow anyone without you knowing who they're following. It's like, why do you need to follow someone you have no relationship with, especially early on? Now, those are suggestions. Again, chew up the meat, spit out the bones. You're the parent here. You have to answer before God for this. And Lee and I are just here to, you know, be your research assistants on some level. Access is here to be your research assistant. That's why you got to get on the Culture Translator. You got to go to access.org/MIP, Moms in Prayer, get some free stuff that's specific to your family's needs. But the reason that you want to see every post is not because they're going to be sending naked pictures. Maybe they are, but probably not. But they might be sending pictures that hurt their friends' feelings. Mm. They might just not have the wisdom that you have, Lee. So for example, incredible mom, her name's Sarah, big fan of Sarah at Axis. She lets her kids have Instagram account, or she did. And you treat every kid differently. I don't care how old they are. You might say your 17-year-old does not get Instagram, but your 14-year-old's ready for it. And by the way, there are major mental health issues when it comes to social media and kids. There's a really interesting British study that just came out that just said Instagram and Snapchat are terrible for your child's mental health. YouTube's not that bad. It's just that you sleep a lot less when you're on YouTube. And YouTube is the number one social media app, by the way. So you just lose sleep, which again, if you're like getting 6 hours of sleep at night and you're a teenager going through a growth spurt and you need to be sleeping 9 to 10 hours at night, you're just going to be a bad version of you. Okay, so the reason that you would check their posts is, let's say, so this is my story about Sarah. Her daughter had a birthday party, and it was a fun birthday party. And they could only invite 10 girls. Or actually, they might even had a birthday party where they went to Disneyland. How cool is that? But you can't invite 20 people to it. So they invited 4 people, and they went on an epic trip to Disney. Well, she encouraged her daughter not to post pictures of everyone else who was not invited on the trip. And so even if it's just having a playing kickball in your backyard, and there's 20 kids in your kid's class, and they post a picture on Instagram of, 10 kids invited, that means 10 kids were left out. And so Sarah would just say, hey, take a picture of, you and your cake and post that. You don't have to post who's in and who's out. So that's just like, there's so many, I ask students all the time, I was like, where have you been gossiped about online? Most of them are gossiped about on Snapchat more than Instagram. But most of the gossip that happens is not words, it's in images. Just posting a picture that's less than flattering, that makes someone look fat, that makes someone look ugly, that just a bad, So again, as you're thinking about the seven domains of the phone, non-negotiables are kind of on the moral compass. Location and time have more to do with your family's philosophy than any settings on the phone. And then when it comes to internet, app store, texting, and social media, there's actually third-party apps that you can use. There's settings that are internally. But you got to hold fast to that heart connection with your kid, because the stricter you get, the sneakier they will become if you don't trust each other. So leading by example, but still, you're the parent. You can do whatever the heck you want. You can just shut it down if you need to. And you can take it away, but I would encourage you, don't take your kid's phone away indefinitely. There are so many kids who have cried tears with me because their mom comes and just says, you transgressed, and she snatches the phone and she says, don't you dare ask me when you can get this back. And the kid's like, wait, what? Like, and the mom says, the more you ask, the longer I'm going to keep it away from you. Well, I understand the feeling. Okay, I understand that you're mad that someone that you loved is harming themselves or others, and you're removing the temptation. But guess what? Your son gets to go back to school and say, my mom's crazy. She's taken away my phone. Do not text me. Do not talk to me. I'm going to be left out of all of these things right now. If you want to get a hold of me, maybe you can text my sister and say something, but she's going to hate you for doing that. And then I don't know when I'm getting it back. That's just like called maintenance. That's what they have to do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what I would prefer would happen is the mom to say, hey, I'm taking your phone away. It's actually not your phone. It's my phone, but you get to use it. And there's been some trust that's been transgressed here. And like, let's figure out a path to build that trust back so that I can happily give you your phone back in 2 weeks, because the phone is awesome. We like it. It does a good job, but it's a great servant, it's a terrible master, and I don't want it to own you. We own the phone doesn't own us. So again, you're still pursuing their heart. I'm sure there's another domain that we've left off. Maybe Lee, the eighth domain, and I'll add it at Axis, or one of the people who are listening to this. If you do, please reach out to us and let us know. If you've come across something awesome, like a new third-party app or a strategy that works for you, we want to hear it. Again, this is a conversation with this podcast. But remember, there's no one like you. There's no one more influential. You're the hero the next generation needs. And this smartphone, you're going to be talking about it a lot. And as you need help, as you see something come up, come to Axis. We're here. If we don't have it, we'll make it. We'll create the resource for you and for your church. And go to axis.org/MIP, Moms in Prayer.
I love it, David, that you guys are doing the work for us and helping us win the next generation to Jesus. And I know that our smartphones can be a wedge, or they can be something that help us position ourselves to reach people more effectively. And that's what we're saying in our house is, let's use this tool as a tool and not as a weapon against each other. And I just so appreciate your insight in helping us use this as a relationship builder. David, I know that moms are going to be hunting down Axis after this. So axis.org, you can find all of the links and more to what Axis is doing in the show notes. But David, as we wrap up, I know you have the heart of a pastor and that you shepherd us moms well. Would you pray for us as we deal with this area of smartphones? Because every single one of us is dealing with this issue right now. So it must be important. Thanks for talking about it with us today. Would you pray for us?
Yes. Dear Jesus, thank you for your incredible love for us. And thank you for these incredible moms who love you, are following you, and want to see their children follow you with their whole hearts, whether they have prodigals or whether they have little Pharisees at home or somewhere in between. those who have been transformed and who just want to know you better. Give them the wisdom they need to guide their children. And may it be true of these moms that they have one conversation with their kid that lasts a lifetime, that's made up of thousands of smaller conversations. Give them the wisdom on when to be quiet. Give them the wisdom of when to listen to the Holy Spirit that is speaking to them through their child. Give them the wisdom of when they need the courage to fight for the hearts of their children by confronting them. But God, please continue to use these moms as they shepherd their little ones, whether their little ones are 6 feet tall or they're 4-year-olds and learning to brush their teeth every day. And remembering, so guide these mamas and thank you for them. And thank you for the gift of family. And also thank you for the gift of the smartphone. The smartphone is so cool. It's such a cool way to interact with people. But may we have the wisdom to use it in context. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Man, that was helpful. Just a reminder that everything that David talked about today, you can find on the blog at momsinprayer.org. Moms are making the difference, friends. Moms who set up boundaries for their kids. Moms who do this thing with the help of Jesus. Moms who are praying like it matters. Moms just like you. See you next week.